The fantasy playoffs are upon us, and there are several prominent injuries that are ruining a lot of rosters. This is Fantasy Pick and Roll. I am Jamie Eisenberg. Joining me, as always, is the great, the talented, the wonderful, the sick, but getting healthy, Sergio Gonzalez.
I'm getting there.
Serge, how you feeling?
I'm feeling a lot better than I did earlier in the weekend. I'm ready. I'm ready to help fantasy owners try to win their playoffs.
Right before we came on the air, we were talking about one of the leagues that Sergio and I are in. I am out of the playoff race. Sergio is right in the thick of it. There's 1 week to go before the playoffs actually start in this particular fantasy league. And Sergio needs to win, and he needs one of three teams ahead of him to lose. I helped him out by playing spoiler last week by beating our good friend Faisal Imam, one of the great product managers here at CBSSports.com.
He's looking at us right now.
He's looking at us as we see, as we discuss this. And Sergio is rapidly trying to get in and make some last-minute lineup decisions with the advice that he likes to give out and help you out. And obviously there are a lot of people scrambling to the waiver wire, surprisingly enough, because there are some prominent injuries to some significant players, and that's opening the door for some of their backups and some other guys on the roster to step up. We'll talk about two teams in the state of Texas. Tony Parker breaks a bone in his hand. He is going to be out for 6 weeks. That is terrible news for Sergio's favorite player on the San Antonio Spurs because Parker is probably going to be lost for the rest of the fantasy season unless your playoffs go all the way to the end in rotisserie leagues.
Yeah, he's lost for the rest of the fantasy season.
Well, for rotisserie leagues, he still may have some value for a week or two.
Right.
But we are talking about a player that has been banged up throughout the course of the year, hip problems, ankle problems, and now this hand injury opens the door now for a couple of different players to maybe gain some prominence. We know about Tim Duncan. His value is not going to change. He remains an elite fantasy guy. Manu Ginobili, his production may go up a little bit, but still a guy that you're probably starting in the majority of leagues. I look at two guys for the Spurs, Serge, that are going to probably see a boost. The biggest one is obviously George Hill, who's been playing at a very solid level over the course of the season, has stepped up dramatically when Parker has been out. But I also see Richard Jefferson getting a little bit of a boost because now they need him to be the scorer that he was when he played in New Jersey, when he played in Milwaukee last year. This is the type of moment why you have a player of Richard Jefferson's caliber, and now we'll see if he's not just going to be this sort of role player in this defensive guy. He's got to come in and play a scorer's type of role and be in that type of mentality.
No, I agree 100%. I still think the player that's going to benefit the most is going to be George Hill.
Without question. That's without saying. Pick him up if he's available in any leagues at this point. But if we're talking about a starting option,
right,
starting caliber guy who's been sitting on your bench probably and may be available on waiver wire in certain leagues at this point,
sure.
Richard Jefferson, I think, is a guy that's going to see a boost.
I agree. We saw it the other night against Memphis. He had 18 points, 6 rebounds, and an assist. He shot 7 of 11 from the field. But he's still, the thing that troubles me is that even in these situations where he's gotten chances where they could give him more of a role in the offense, he's still only getting 10 to 11 shots per game. He's not going to all of a sudden start shooting 15 times per game. Which
sure,
is
not in this team.
That is what it would take for him to return to the type of production he had with Milwaukee, obviously in his days with the Nets. That's still not going to happen. So it's still going to be not a situation where he's going to score. He's not going to score 18, 6, and 1 like he did the other night on a regular basis. He had to go 7 of 11 from the field.
But I'll tell you what, though. I think he could do this every other game or every couple of games.
No, every other game.
I don't think we're talking about a consistent 18-point score, like you said. But I think we're talking about, by the end of the week, you're talking about a guy that can give you, in a cumulative league, give you in that 70 to 80 fantasy point range.
Sure.
And could be a number 3, number 4 guy for you, depending on how deep your league is, how many guys you start.
Right.
And in those average base leagues, he could be around double digit score in some fantasy format. So we're talking about a guy that's going to see a boost. Again, George Hill, biggest benefactor from this, but I think that's pretty clear to a lot of people at this point, is that George Hill, we know, has played well in tandem with Tony Parker, and when Parker hasn't been there, George Hill has really stepped up his game.
Absolutely, and he's going to get the biggest fantasy boost. I think if fantasy owners just forget the fact that Richard Jefferson is Richard Jefferson, don't expect him to go back to Richard Jefferson
somewhere in between
of a couple years ago. If you could just
think Richard Jefferson, Milwaukee.
Forget the name. Just consider the fact that he's a good player in a situation to step up his reduction, and don't consider the fact that he was once a player that was really a solid number 2 forward in just about any format. If you just consider that he is a player in a position to benefit, then you can be satisfied with just the boost that he's going to get. Don't consider the fact that he could get back to being Richard Jefferson. Consider the fact that he's going to get a boost and that he can help you. So
I would agree.
I think he'll be.
I think you get Richard Jefferson, Milwaukee type numbers. That's kind of the player he was. He wasn't that dynamic of a player with the Bucks. I think he can give you the type of.
Well, he averaged 19 points per game in Milwaukee. That's not going to happen.
Probably not.
Yeah.
In Dallas, Jason Terry, we know, broke a bone in his eye, the orbital bone in his eye socket. Going to be out for at least 2 weeks. Who knows? Could be longer. We'll see what happens when he comes back. Probably going to wear a mask when he does come back. That has opened the door for, I'm not going to pronounce his name.
Roddy Boubois?
I think that's how you say it.
Roddy Boubois.
Who, in three consecutive games, set season highs for himself, career highs for himself, a rookie, who is essentially a point guard. But we know about the Mavericks. They will use point guards in the two-guard position. They did that with Jason Terry. They've done it with J.J. Barea. And now Boubois has really stepped up his game and is playing well. Definitely somebody you can add if you're missing Jason Terry for the next couple of weeks, and somebody who could help you at the guard spot.
He's somebody you should add if you're not missing anybody. I think he's a player that you have to add, considering the situation he's going to be in for the next couple of weeks. I think he's a player you add. He had 22 points against Sacramento. He followed that up with 24 points against Chicago. He had 17 points in the game before that, and that was even before Jason Terry was hurt. He's a player that fantasy owners, I think, should add, even if
that was the game Kidd set out, though, right?
Yeah, that was the game Kidd set out. So I think he's a player that fantasy owners can get some juice out of, even if you don't think you're in a situation of need. He's a player that's going to be very beneficial for the next couple of weeks.
I would agree. So you're talking about some injury situations again, as we talked about Richard Jefferson stepping up. I think you'll see Jason Kidd continue to play at a high level. Caron Butler will continue to find his way with the Mavericks and probably start to put up great stats. We know Dirk is going to be there. And their big man spot is also dealing with some injuries because Brandon Haywood left the game Saturday. Eric Dampier is still out with his finger injury. I don't know who's going to fill the void there for them in that particular spot, because Tim Thomas
Dirk's
is also dealing with...
take a bigger rebounding role.
It would be interesting to see in those leagues where you get dual eligibility.
Yeah, Sean Marion.
If Dirk starts five games at center.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That would really increase his value for 2010.
Right.
2011.
Sure.
So we'll see what happens with Dirk and what happens with his player eligibility in those leagues.
Well, he would need 10 for 2011.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he would need five to keep it in this season, but 10 to keep it for next year. But it's possible.
And also, we don't know how long Haywood's going to be out.
Sure.
So Haywood could play in Fantasy Week 20. So in any event, the Mavericks dealing with a significant injury, so Boubois is the player who's going to benefit the most. LeBron James sits out one game to quote-unquote rest. May sit out another game Monday. We'll know that. You can check out the site, cbssports.com, fantasynews.cbssports.com, for that information. If LeBron continues to miss time, because Cleveland pretty much is going to wrap up the one seed in the East, they're still competing to be the one seed overall. Right now they have that because the Lakers continue to flounder. You see how bad Cleveland is when LeBron does not play. They lose to Milwaukee pretty easily, even with Jameson playing a bigger role. Mo Williams continuing to find his way. Anderson Varejao, J.J. Hicks, and those guys who are playing great when LeBron is there, play back down to their levels a little bit without LeBron in there. So if LeBron does miss another game, I think maybe you got to start to worry a little bit, just because they want to save him for the playoffs. We know he's banged knees a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, dealing with some soreness in that part of his body. And just the pounding he takes, the minutes he has to play, that's something you want to keep an eye on. So hopefully LeBron is in there. I think he does play. I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah. I could see him missing Monday's game.
I could see it also.
But he's still, even with two games, he's one of those players that you start even in two-game weeks. So you might not be getting the full LeBron James experience the rest of the way, but it's still what you are going to get is still pretty darn good.
Now, do you go LeBron LeBron with two games versus somebody?
LeBron with one game over somebody with four.
Really?
Yeah. It's LeBron James can, in one game, he can easily give you 30 points, 7 and 7, with numbers, with three steals.
Okay, but you're not going to do it over a guy with four. Roddy Boubois with four games or LeBron?
With two games?
George Hill with four games or LeBron with two?
I'm still taking LeBron.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah. I'm just posing the question because these are decisions that people are going to have to make.
No, I'm still taking LeBron.
I put it this way. Unless I know definitively LeBron is out Monday,
sure,
I'm taking my chances.
Oh, absolutely.
Unless I can change my lineup prior to tip-off.
Sure. No, absolutely. You have to stick LeBron in it.
It does work out in your benefit because the guy that you're playing in that respective league is a LeBron James owner. So if it's you,
I'd rather not be playing LeBron.
Of course. obviously. But LeBron dealing with, some of an injury situation. Hopefully it's just, as Mike Brown said, to be safe and to rest him.
Yeah.
As opposed
he did
to
tweak
him.
His ankle on Saturday, but supposedly that has nothing to do with him being rested.
Yes, well. Let's hope that's the case. We'll find out coming up in this scoring period if Monta Ellis is able to return, dealing with the back problem. Corey Maggette does come back on the road trip and surprises people.
Yeah.
He was expected to be out till March 11th when they do get back to Golden State with that hamstring problem. But Monta Ellis dealing with the back issue. I expect him to come back and play. However, that's something you're going to have to keep an eye on and really judge, do you want to set your lineup with Ellis in there in case he does miss time. Andres Biedris, we know, is not going to return because he's going to Philadelphia on Monday to see a specialist. So there's the Golden State injury report as we see it. I'm just going to go through some of the teams with some of their injury situations. Kenyon Martin dealing with this knee problem. This is something that we've told you about. It's going to linger. It's going to be a problem throughout the rest of the season. You have to sort of be careful when you set your lineup. But I do think that to be safe, you probably want to keep Kenyon Martin reserved.
Yeah, I think you do. He's awaiting the results of an MRI that should hopefully be in sometime before lineup deadlines on Monday. Hopefully. There's no certainty to that. But that MRI should reveal the extent of the injury, and then the team could announce the course of action that they'll take. So it's very possible that you'll know what you want to do with Kenyon Martin by the time lineup deadlines are due on Monday night.
And nobody really benefits there. You know,
Well, Chris Anderson has been.
A little bit, but his scoring is not going to really do anything.
Well, it's been surprisingly decent in this absence of Kenyon Martin. He's actually been around 10 points per game, which for Craig Anderson is pretty significant.
Chris Anderson.
He's been around 10 points per game, and the rebounds have seen just enough of a boost to where he could be around 10 points and 10 rebounds per game. The blocks, you know what he does there. He had 13 points against Oklahoma City, a good defensive team. Indiana, he had 13 points with 10 rebounds. He had 4 blocks, 3 blocks, and 3 blocks in his last 3 games.
He's more of a rotisserie guy than he is a head-to-head guy.
Yeah, but he could still be one of those players that you can plug in there if you're looking for a stopgap forward off the waiver wire.
Very true. Detroit, significant injury situations. Detroit is dealing with Rodney Stuckey with his illness. At least that's what we're calling it, an illness, because he collapsed on the court Friday night.
That was scary.
And it was very scary. You know, there was a report out of Cleveland. First, he had a seizure.
Yeah.
He was taken to the hospital, awaiting tests. It's the second time, I believe, in 2 or 3 years. He's only been in the league, I believe, this is third year.
I think it was last year.
Where he had some issues of dizziness and chest pains. So this is something that I think you got to monitor. You can't play him this week because you don't know when he's going to return. And it's going to open the door for Will Bynum, another guy who's benefited throughout the course of the season when they've dealt with some injuries at guard. He's not going to see a significant boost. He's not in the George Hill, Roddy Bouba conversation.
I think he can see a significant boost.
I think he's third, though.
Absolutely. And the situation that he's in is you can't start Stuckey because you don't know if he's going to be back. But you're also in a tough situation with Bynum because, again, we don't know when Stuckey's going to be back because Stuckey comes back midweek or even later in the week, and then you're stuck with Will Bynum not doing.
Let's put it this way: if you have a roster spot, you go out and you pick up Will Bynum. You're not starting Will Bynum. You pick him up in.
Well, what if you need to plug in a point guard this week?
Well, then I think you got to go with George Hill, Roddy Bouba, if those guys are available. Otherwise, you probably would have some guard on your bench that you could plug in place with that. But if you're looking to add somebody to your roster, listen, there have been guys that have struggled. The Bill Walker experiment, it's over. Sergio Rodriguez struggled. Mm-hmm. That's done. Nate Robinson is not a guy you're going to start at this point. There are a handful of guards that you've probably been rotating in certain spots. I can only speak for myself. I've been doing that, you know, using one roster spot for the hot guy off the waiver wire.
Mm-hmm.
Will Bynum is somebody that if he's available, I would pick him up and just keep him there. See how it goes. Listen, Stuckey may be shut down. Pistons aren't playing for anything. They may not want to risk bringing him back.
Absolutely.
And Bynum is someone that can benefit from that. But also, we'll see Tayshaun Prince continue to see a huge boost. Jonas Jerebko playing an extremely high level for the Pistons. This also has to do with Ben Wallace missing time, too, with his knee problem. So Wallace is a guy that you're not going to really want to start. Has been pretty much a serviceable number two center in deeper leagues. Obviously, a guy in rotisserie formats that you're using for rebounds and defensive stats in terms of blocks. But you're seeing guys, Rip Hamilton continue to play at a high level. Maybe this will help Ben Gordon because of some increased minutes. He's been terrible for the Pistons all season long. But Stuckey, obviously, we hope he comes back and feels better. Just looking down the injury woes here. Eric Gordon still dealing with a knee. So that's something to keep an eye on. Opens minutes for Rasul Butler. Drew Gooden is somebody that's really played unbelievable in his chance to play. The Lakers are struggling. I'm going to get a chance to break down the Lakers after seeing them Thursday night.
Anything interesting from the Laker locker room?
Well, it's interesting. This is the first time that they've been healthy in the second half of the season for the last 2 years, 3 years, including this season, because as we know, Andrew Bynum has dealt with the season-ending injuries. So how these guys are sort of meshing with Ron Artest as well. Phil Jackson had a great quote before the game, and it came back to bite him because he said he was talking about Ron Artest and having a guy who's really been a defense specialist. And he said, we don't know what we're going to do with him. We're going to have to put him on Wade because a guy like Quentin Richardson will put him to sleep.
Right.
Just standing out there in the three-point line. What is Richardson do? He had 7 3-pointers,
yep,
and was really the difference in the Heat beating the Lakers in that game. But Artest really has taken such a huge backseat. What's his fantasy value going forward? Lamar Odom, you're seeing his stats on a huge decline over the last 2 weeks, not playing at a high level. Really, it's just been Kobe who's back playing at a high level again, and Gasol are the only two, in my opinion, must-start fantasy options. Now, Bynum becomes a number two center in leagues where you start two centers because he's a center and he plays, right, and he's productive and at times will give you double digits in both scoring and rebounding.
So you wouldn't qualify Bynum as a number one center anymore?
No. I just don't see it. I mean, I'm not seeing the production. Are you?
Right. No. I mean, I think he's on that fringe. The center position is a lot deeper than it's been in past years. So I think you're probably right.
Let's see. We have guys now. Obviously, Dwight Howard is a number one center.
Sure.
David Lee is number one center. Right. Andre Blatch has become a number one center.
Right.
Nene, number one center.
Uh huh.
Brooke Lopez, number one center.
Absolutely.
Al Horford.
Yes.
Number one center. These guys, you'd all take over Bynum, right?
Yes.
Marc Gasol.
Yes.
Paul Gasol.
Of course.
Kevin Love.
Yeah.
So there's nine guys.
Al Jefferson,
I would take over Andrew Bynum. So there's 10. Then we start to get to where he falls. Okay,
right.
So now we're talking 10 guys that you would definitely start over Andrew Bynum.
Andrea Bargnani.
I think it's in the mix.
Marcus Camby is definitely, well, Marcus Camby's out right now.
No, Camby, I would take Andrew Bynum over Camby.
Right. I think that's probably where he falls. Drugan.
Right now, yes. Well, Kamen, for sure.
You would take
Kamen over Bynum.
Yeah, we didn't mention him.
There's 11. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're talking about now he's in the mix of 12 through whatever. Brendan Haywood was playing better than him before he got hurt. So there's another guy. Joakim Noah, when he was healthy, is better than Bynum.
Mm-hmm.
So Bynum sort of falls in that. I think he falls in anywhere from 11 to 15. You know, that's where you sort of look at Andrew Bynum,
right,
at this point, especially when everybody's healthy. So you're talking about a guy that's not exactly playing what we hoped he would play like. So we'll see if he can bounce back from that. But
right,
we'll see what's going on with him there. We talked about the Knicks. Do you agree? Bill Walker done?
With the Knicks, you never know. I mean,
but here's the thing with Bill Walker. Those two big games that he had,
mm-hmm,
no Wilson Chandler. Wilson Chandler comes back from his grandfather,
right,
passed away.
Sure.
Chandler comes back. All of a sudden, he's playing at an unbelievable, right, level again.
I think he's done to the point where you have to sit him right now. With the Knicks, I don't like to give up on players because it could be two games down the line where they're right back to that situation.
Yeah, but I think I do
agree right now.
There's too many guys at that spot.
Yeah.
You have Walker. You have Rodriguez. You have Tony Douglas for the minutes that he's playing. You have Eddie House. It's really what we've seen from the Knicks, even after the trade.
Right.
It's David Lee,
mm-hmm,
is still the guy. Al Harrington's seen a resurgence because he's healthy again. He's out of the doghouse.
Mm-hmm.
McGrady, I think, is the third option there.
Right.
Wilson Chandler, I'm going to put him fourth. And then Gallinari, I put him fifth. And then it's whoever of those four guards has a good night.
Yeah.
And Duhon.
And we are at the point of the season where you just can't go on upside anymore. You have to go on who's producing right now, who has the best matchups, who's in a good situation, and right now he's not.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at that time of the year where it's do or die time.
Yes.
You have to go with what's working.
Philadelphia is dealing with an injury to Maurice Spates, which really doesn't affect Maurice Spates because he hasn't been a great fantasy option since the beginning of the season. But this does now open minutes for
continued
production for Elton Brand. But yes, Thaddeus Young sees a big boost coming off a tremendous game against Toronto on Sunday, and we'll see if he can carry that through for the rest of the season, depending on how long
Spates is out. Now, with Thaddeus Young, fantasy owners shouldn't get too excited about that game. One, it came against Toronto, one of the worst defensive teams in, mm-hmm, the league. Two, it came on in a day where he started at center because Sammy Dallenberg was disciplined by his coach. The reason for the discipline hasn't come out, but it's not a situation that's going to linger. Dallenberg is going to be right back in the mix going forward. So you're going to have he's not going to be facing Toronto every game. He's not,
sure,
going to be getting 43 minutes or 18 shots in the offense. We know the type of upside Young has. He's done this before. Actually, this was his career high, but he beat his career high by 1 point. He's had games like this in the past. We know how good he can be, but he's still not going to be in a situation to do this on a consistent basis down the stretch. So don't get too excited about that game.
No, but still, somebody worth taking a look at and keeping on your bench and maybe starting as a number three or number four forward for the upcoming scoring period. We know that Joakim Noah is still going to be out, so don't plan on using him. Again, I think you could cut him at this point in the season.
But Brad Miller.
Yes, Brad Miller has definitely stepped up, and good to see that Luol Deng, Derrick Rose, along with Miller, three guys who were banged up throughout the course of Fantasy Week 19, are able to play and play well. The Miami Heat, speaking of disciplinary guys, they get rid of Rafer Alston. He left the team because he was essentially demoted to the third string point guard spot for them. Not that Rafer Alston was playing well, but if you're looking for help at guard, again, I think maybe the fourth guy of the list that we talked about between Hill, Bubois, and Will Bynum is Carlos Arroyo.
Yeah.
Played very well against the Lakers, a guy that Dwayne Wade likes to play with. If he can hit shots, his stats will be there because you're talking about a guy who will give you in the neighborhood of 4 to 6 assists. He can get you a couple rebounds, a couple steals. It's always going to be scoring with Arroyo and how much he can score. But the Heat have some favorable matchups in this scoring period, only with 3 games. But I still think they can get it done. They have a tough game against Charlotte, but they still play the Clippers on Wednesday. And the Bulls really haven't played defense like the Bulls are capable of playing.
Yeah.
The Chris Paul, Darren Collison situation has improved dramatically for Darren Collison.
Yeah.
And has not really helped Chris Paul owners. I think if you've, again, survived throughout this point into getting into your playoff run or in the playoffs, Chris Paul is probably not going to help you this much.
No. He's looking at late March now. On one side of his mouth, he's saying he's going to play. He's absolutely going to play. He's going to try to help his team. And he wants to get back out there. On the other side of his mouth, he's saying, I'm not going to come back until I'm 100%. I'm not going to push myself and risk myself getting hurt. So right now, it's not looking too great. It looked like, I think in our last podcast, we mentioned that it was looking
He was hoping for this Sunday.
He was hoping possibly for this Sunday. That's not going to be the case for sure now. Late March at the earliest, that's at least a couple more weeks for Darren Collison. At that point, the Hornets could very well be mathematically eliminated by that time.
They're out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they're hanging by a thread now. So in a couple of weeks, they're definitely going to be mathematically eliminated. And at that point, why bring him back? I just don't see the need to bring him back.
Well, he did say, in his own words, if I have to play the last 3 games of the season, I'm going to play again this year.
And the next sentence, in that same quote, in that same talk to the I forget which reporter he was talking to, he said, but I'm not going to risk
come back unless I'm 110%.
He's at this point, and it's not going to be just his decision. It's a franchise decision.
Yes, Jeff Bauer, the coach and general manager, will have to make the call. Do we want to risk? Listen, they also have some things at stake here. They probably want to see if Darren Collison can make the all-rookie team because he's played at an unbelievable level for them. I'm sure that's probably somewhere in the back of their mind of can we help Darren Collison maybe get recognized for this award. He's already on the second team without question.
Oh, absolutely.
Can he be on the first team? They also probably want to see what they have in Collison, in Marcus Thornton, because they have to make a decision in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
Do we go with these guys and hold out hope that they're going to work as a three-headed guard rotation, or do we have to move one of these guys, probably Collison, to see if we can get some value for our franchise while he's under a small number, while we can maybe get some draft picks in return for him? They're going to have to make a decision on those guys, and so they probably want to continue to showcase Collison. I don't think they have any intentions of trading him, but again, just speculation. You have Chris Paul. He's the franchise there. You have Marcus Thornton, who's proving to be a serviceable two-guard for them. So we'll see what they want to do. You know, Darren Collison has said he thinks they could play in tandem together. That'd be a very small backcourt. They would have very, very a lot of problems defending teams, especially anybody with a decent-sized two-guard. So it would be trouble for them. But Collison's been fantastic. Again, continue to ride him while he's hot. And hopefully that that production continues. Marcus Camby is another guy dealing with injuries. You sort of teased that a little bit. He's got another ankle problem. This one was hurt in practice on Friday, and he misses the game. I believe it was
Saturday.
Sunday.
I think it was Saturday.
He missed Sunday against
Sunday,
Denver.
You're right.
So you're dealing now with another injury to Marcus Camby, another guy that's going to be questionable coming into this week. Again, he's been playing poorly since coming to Portland. I would sit him if you can.
I would sit him if you can. Now, with that said, I'm going to appeal to the gamblers out there, the ones that don't really have a lot of options out there. The Trailblazers do have some good matchups this week. They're going to be in some high-scoring games. Camby's never been an offensive player, but a lot of times in those games where his team's going to be scoring 105 to 110 points per game, that's going to trickle down to him. really his biggest problem has been the fact that he hasn't been involved at all in the offense. He's been attempting 2 to 4 shots per game.
He's never been involved in the offense.
No. But even in his non-offensive ways, he still finds a way to get garbage shots around 7 to 8 shots per game. He's not being involved at all. Now, he's not getting tip-ins. He's not getting anything. I think this week he could have a chance to get on the right track and start to get going for the stretch run. If all things considered, if you can avoid starting him, avoid it. If you're a gambler, though, and you don't have a lot of options, it's not. Put aside the fact that he hasn't been good with Portland so far, there is a possibility that he could see inflated stats this week.
I'm going to totally disagree with you.
All right.
I think I'd rather take a chance with Samuel Dalembert.
Well, yeah, I'm not talking about Samuel.
Anthony Tolliver.
Okay. What if your option is Craig Smith or Marcus Camby?
Craig Smith?
Really?
Yeah, 19-point game 2 games ago.
Okay, what if your option is, who's the guy from Minnesota?
Darko?
No, not Darko.
Ryan Hollins?
Ryan Hollins or Marcus Camby.
How many games does Minnesota have?
Minnesota has 3. Minnesota has actually 4 games.
Okay, I'm taking Ryan Hollins.
You're taking Ryan Hollins. What if it's
here? Let me run down some guys. I would tell you, I'd start over him for sure. I'll just go through the obvious guys. Forget about it. Perkins is obvious. I would start Varejao over him. I would start Chris Anderson. Not center eligible, correct?
No, he's not.
Okay. I would start. Who's getting the center minutes now in Detroit with Wallace missing the last 2 games? Is it Drebko?
No.
Max Hill?
Yeah.
And Max Hill is center eligible?
Not yet. I believe he's about to be, though.
Okay. I would start DeJuan Blair over Marcus Camby.
Would you?
I would start Tolliver over Marcus Camby. I would start Roy Hibbert, I think, is obvious. I would start...
Well, I think we
how many games for Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma City is going to play 3 games.
Okay. Maybe Nenad Krstić. I would start Dalembert over him.
You wouldn't start Krstić?
I would start Krstić over him. Just because the injury also. I would start Spencer Hawes over Camby. I would start Brad Miller is obvious. I would start Jermaine O'Neal over him. I would start O'Neal's also dealing with injury. Keep that in mind as well. I just don't think Camby.
Sure.
Let's
go over the matchups. Sacramento.
I don't care about the matchups.
Golden State.
I don't care about the matchups. You're talking about
Sacramento
a guy,
again.
You're talking about
and
a guy.
Toronto.
Okay, but let's keep in mind this: coming off of an injury, right?
Yeah, the injury is an issue.
Injury history hasn't fit in well so far. So if they get ahead in these games where they should be blowing out these opponents, he's not going to play. And if they do get ahead of it, yeah, he may put up a couple of good rebound games and a couple of good block games. The scoring hasn't been there. So if the rebounds aren't there because he has no lift on his ankle and the blocks aren't there, he's not going to help you at all. So you're looking at Marcus Camby. When healthy, yes, I would take the risk with Marcus Camby. If he was 100%, based on those matchups and the amount of minutes he's going to play and the role that they're trying to fit him into, I would agree with you 100%. But the fact that he's coming off an injury and may miss one of those games, if not 2 of those games, because... maybe Nate McMillan saying, if we can't beat these guys without Marcus Camby, then we're not really the playoff team that we think we should be. They are now looking at San Antonio, who's directly in front of them, as a wounded duck to move up to the 8th spot to avoid the Lakers. And I think you're seeing a team in Portland that's going to start to make a push, with or without Marcus Camby at 100%, and then you plug in a healthy Marcus Camby, then they're fortified for the playoffs. But they've gotten by without Marcus Camby throughout the course of the season.
Sure.
Without Greg Oden, without Joel Prisbilla, and you got to hope that Marcus Camby's 100%. If Marcus Camby's not 100%, he doesn't help you. Fantasy-wise, he's not going to help you this week.
Considering these matchups, Juwan Howard or Marcus Camby?
Juwan Howard.
Juwan Howard over Marcus Camby. Because of the fact that you're assured, for the most part, that he should play.
Juwan Howard can fall into 10-7.
That's what I'm saying, especially with these matchups.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're assured of the fact that he can play all 4 games.
Yes, and if Camby's out, then you're talking about an even bigger boost for a guy like Juwan Howard.
Sure.
So that's just the decision. I agree with you. If you want to gamble and say that Marcus Camby, but you're looking.
I'm only talking to those owners who are in a dire situation.
Yeah, but
their options aren't very, very.
Yes,
appealing.
If you're in the situation that you're in, where you have to win to get into the playoffs, and you need the most potential that you could possibly get, maybe roll the dice with Marcus Camby. But we haven't seen Marcus Camby outside of one game in Portland where he had the 18 rebounds.
I
play
agree.
Well, and on top of the fact that he's hurt, I think you almost guarantee yourself in those cumulative leagues, try and get 60 to 70 fantasy points as opposed to 30 to 40 if Cammy really hurts you. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure you get points. So I wouldn't run out and pick up Aaron Gray or Darius Sungaila mm-hmm. to plug in for Marcus Camby. But if you have somebody on your bench, again, Tolliver.
Yeah, those guys, absolutely. No, I don't know.
Juwan Howard, like
you said.
I'm talking
to a different fantasy.
Sure. Right. JaVale McGee is somebody that I would play at this point over Camby. He's basically putting up Camby stats what we hope Camby. He had 5 blocks on Sunday against the Celtics. So you're talking about guys that can give you guaranteed production, and that's the type of numbers I think you want to get. Rasheed Wallace is probably somebody I would play
over. I was just going to mention Rasheed Wallace.
Over Camby as well. So make sure you just get something, because I just don't think you're going to get much from Camby this week. All right, that sort of wraps up what we're talking about today. We'll come back to you again on Thursday, and we'll look ahead to Fantasy Week 21 when the playoffs start in the majority of leagues. Again, send us your emails, and I printed an email, and it's sitting on the computer. DM Fantasy Hoops, we'll read it on Thursday. DM,
we do answer these, though.
DM Fantasy Hoops at CBS.com, DM Fantasy Hoops at CBS.com. Follow us on Twitter at CBS Gonzalez, at Jamie Eisenberg, at Fantasy News. Our thanks to Adam Azer for always sending our podcast. For Sergio Gonzalez, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.